Our Friday ritual is to play this song. It's not Friday, but this episode comes out on Friday.
Specifically this song?
Yeah.
I have seen this band 3 times live. First time in 2001 on the Battle of Los Angeles tour. Then at 06, when they got back together at Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
And then at LA Rising a few summers ago.
Nice.
And I'm looking forward to seeing them, hopefully. Tickets go on sale tomorrow.
I heard about that.
Yesterday, for the listeners.
Yeah.
it's going to be Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels, who I've also seen 3 times.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get tickets for the Oakland show.
Nice, dude.
Hell yeah.
I had no idea you were a fan.
Huge. Huge. Well, I had a band in high school that was a bad ripoff of Rage Against the Machine.
Well, I'm glad I played it for you then.
Yeah, dude, that's... now. You know what? I was skeptical when you said open up with music.
Yeah.
And it gets us hype, but now
there you
you've changed my opinion. I have to open everything up with music now from now on.
Yeah.
Dinner.
This is our Friday ritual because, bro, like, to me, I just, like, it's the end of the week. Some of you guys are driving home from the office or whatever the fuck that you do, and you answer to somebody, and now that's all over. You know what I mean? Like, you get, like, a couple days off to just recharge your batteries and just tell them to go. You don't listen to nobody. It's your own fucking, this is your own world, you know? And that's why I played on Fridays.
Do you know that Rage Against the Machine played their first live show not 8 miles from where we sit right now?
Really?
During the daytime at lunch on the quad at Cal State Northridge.
Oh,
the
really?
First ever live. And it's on video. You can go see. And they and half of these songs from this album, they play in that live show.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's like 1993 or 92 or something like that.
That's awesome, dude.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Actually, this week, this episode is coming out early, so tickets are on sale today.
On sale today! Don't buy them if you're in Oakland, because I want to get tickets. So just hold off. How dare you?
Normally, I record this on Thursday. It comes out on Friday. We're recording it on Wednesday. It's going to come out on Thursday because I leave town tomorrow.
Dude, behind the curtain.
So there you go, you guys.
You guys didn't know you get to see behind the curtain today, but you do. Want to know why? Because I'm here.
That's right.
I'm going to adjust my position so I get more oxygen in my... Oh, yeah.
Get comfortable. You bring that mic to you.
Do we usually go this long without them having any idea
nope.
who I am?
All right. No, I usually play a very short little music, and then. But you know what, man? We were talking about it, and I'm glad that you're here. I'm here with Rich Slayton, everybody. I'm Augustino Zoida, and this is the Homeschooled Podcast. Before we get into it, this episode is brought to you by our brand new sponsors, which we're super proud to have, which is Embrace Pet Insurance. Listen, guys, it's super important to have insurance for your pet. Why wouldn't you? You never know what's going to happen. Listen, tomorrow your dog might swallow something. You take him to the vet, and they tell you, like, listen, he's got to have, like, a $6,000 surgery, or if you don't have the money, we're just going to put him down. And that's pretty much what it comes down to. It's happened to me before. So why don't you have pet insurance? You got it for yourself, so why wouldn't you for your pet? Just click the link in the description and just get a quote today from Embrace Pet Insurance. You can also go to my website, homeschooledpod.com, click on sponsors, and all the products and services who sponsor us are there, including Embrace. So just go ahead and click the link. And while you're there, why don't you go over to merch, and you can get a Homeschool Podcast t-shirt. Just check it out. Or you can go over to tour and see the upcoming shows. This weekend, I am in Rockland, California at the Out of Bounds Brewery for Valentine's Day. This Friday, their first show sold out, so you guys can still get tickets to the 9:30 show. So like I said, go over to homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour. And that's it for today. We got through all the sponsors and the shows. You got any shows coming up that you want to plug?
No, watch Clash Royale League on TBS in the you know, spring.
We'll remind him at the end.
No. Just you know what? Go ahead and say hi if you see me somewhere.
There you go, guys. That's Rich Slayton. I'm Augustino Zoida. This is Homeschooled Podcast. I got another song for your ass.
Oh shit!
Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
You were homeschooled?
I don't want to do that. Yes, sir.
You know what? You have a homeschooled vibe, too. Like, you didn't play, like, your only friends were on the soccer team, and that was it. And the rest of the time, you were like, well, I guess I go to recess with mom.
I wasn't on this. All my friends were on the soccer team, is that what you said?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, something like that. I wasn't even on the soccer team.
You know what I found out about today?
What?
So, my baby boy's 18 months old.
Congrats.
Thank you very much. He made it pretty far. going for at least another 18. And we're trying to get him swimming lessons, right? Because you don't want him to drown it ever. And there's swimming schools that are built just for swimming lessons. Not like a country club or whatever, but like, hey, I have a strip mall swimming pool. And they have a specific, I was looking through their brochure of like times and lessons, and they have a program for homeschool PE. That's really? A thing. I guess there's a lot of homeschooling here in Los Angeles.
There's homeschool kids, but for PE, they can still attend. Dude, that would have been dope when I was a kid.
What'd you have to do, like push a hoop with a stick?
I didn't do anything. That's why I'm a fat piece of shit, bro. Yeah. I didn't do anything. That's why I don't know how to play any sports. I didn't even get into sports until like after I moved out of the state and then fucking...
Are you Greek?
No, I'm Italian.
Italian, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I didn't move out of the state until I was like 18. I went to Massachusetts, and then I became a sports fan there, because how could you not?
Sure.
In that town, and then in that state, and then...
And you were like, home run! And they're like, this is basketball.
Yeah, pretty much, dude. Right. But yeah, no one's ever told me I had a homeschooled vibe before. I like that.
Yeah, well, now that I know you're homeschooled, I feel it.
Okay.
Before, and I was like, I don't know, he just seems nice and kind of quiet, but now I'm like, oh, okay, now it all the... It's like Memento, I'm putting shit together on the back end.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
I don't know if that's the correct reference, but I just made it.
That's okay. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I was homeschooled, and, you know, I'm Catholic, and we did belong to a church, and there were, like, there were things like, you know, like, hey, you can sign your kid up for a swimming team and stuff like that with the Catholic church, and there was always talks of it. My parents were really, like, never... doers.
Why were you homeschooled?
I think
have you told the story a billion times on this show?
I
wasn't, because my parents wanted me away. They were like, get out of the
house.
They
wanted you the fuck out of the house.
Yeah, get the fuck out of the house, dude, so that we can do other things.
People ask different questions about it, so it's okay.
Okay.
Everybody's always got different questions. So I'm one of four kids.
Okay.
Three older sisters, and the two sisters above me were all homeschooled also. And the oldest sister wasn't, but then like halfway
she got pregnant, and that's why they didn't want anyone to go to school.
No, but she got into trouble at school, and then they homeschooled her too, the rest of it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and then the rest of us were all home. So yeah, they just were worried about getting into problems.
There
are
no comedians who didn't do a weird, who didn't have weird shit.
Weird shit.
No.
Yeah.
Like anyone, like everyone had something.
What was
goofy.
Yours?
Oh man, where do you want to start?
Well, the one.
I mean,
the one.
Super duper ADD. Like, okay. and not like
a
modern,
lot of comics are.
Not modern, like my parents medicated me so they could have a breath ADD, but like in classroom, I couldn't play baseball because if I was in the outfield, or even no matter where I was, I would start like daydreaming, like looking at the sky and like trying to catch bugs and shit. As like a 12-year-old, I couldn't have enough focus to play baseball.
Okay.
Right? So that's
so you
that.
Did it.
I didn't. Oh, I know. I played baseball until I was 12.
Hmm.
And then I was like, oh, this shit's boring. Because there's actually a video of me in the outfield.
Yeah.
Like, looking, wandering around. And I'm too old for this. I'm not six. I'm like 11.
Okay.
And I'm wandering around looking at the sky trying to catch bugs.
That's okay.
During a baseball game.
Did you ever play any other sports after that?
Because, I mean, I played basketball.
Baseball is just boring.
Yeah, baseball sucks. It's fun to watch. It's fun to go to a game.
It's fun to go to a game. Exactly. I agree with you.
I played basketball, played soccer, played tennis. I was on the swim team. I was a double black diamond level skier until I was 13 and I tore my ACL. I could still get down like anything on the mountain pretty much, but not the same way I used to.
Where are you from?
Sacramento.
You're from Sacramento?
Yeah, northern grown.
I didn't know that, bro. So you know all about Rockland.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I've avoided it for many years.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You still have family there?
Sacramento, yeah.
Yeah, your parents.
My parents both were transplants. My mom was from Florida, my dad from Texas.
Are they still married?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I come from a good home.
Okay.
I come from a good home.
Any other siblings?
Yeah, a younger sister.
A younger sister.
Yeah, she's not an investment, but she's a personal wealth manager at JP Morgan.
Where would you go skiing up there?
Tahoe.
You go up to Tahoe.
Yeah, it's
that's
the only place where what else am I do? I'm like,
yeah, I don't know.
Go to Big Bear. Drive.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys like flew to Colorado every year.
No. I was like a 30-40 day a year skier as a kid. Like I was a season pass. Back then a season pass for a kid was like $150.
Wow.
So you would go like if you got up the mountain like I don't know, six times in a winter.
It was worth it.
You worth it. So, you know, you pile in the car at 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning, drive up, ski all day, pile in the car, drive back down.
I did that one time when I was up in Sacramento. I went over to Tahoe.
Tahoe's the shit, dude.
It was pretty fun. I went with my sister lives in Roseville.
I've heard of it. Lots of knife violence there.
Knife violence?
Yeah, Roseville. Knife violence capital of Sacramento.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Also bad haircuts. A lot of bad haircuts there. A lot of guys who like... When I was growing up there, because I grew up in Sacramento in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, right?
Yeah.
The big pimping era. a lot of like cuts into the eyebrow.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like the double line in the eyebrow type people.
Well, I got an older niece... Not that she's older. She's the oldest niece.
Okay.
And she still lives up there, you know, with her mom. And she's just a lot of tattoos.
Yeah, that sounds right. That's very Roseville.
That's a lot of tattoos.
I mean, even more in Rockland.
She's 22.
Yeah, that sounds accurate. So are you a fan of the UFC at all?
Not really.
Not really? There's these two brothers in the Diaz brothers who are very well-known.
I know them,
Diaz. Yeah. I knew 100 of those guys, 200 of those guys growing up. Uh-huh. Right? There's just so many. People think of Sacramento, like, used, the L.A. reputation used to be, like, as a cow town, right? Like, the Lakers used to make fun of the Kings for being a cow town team.
Yeah.
And so that's when the whole Sacramento thing of bringing cowbells to games started.
Okay.
And but really what it is, it's like the Midwest of California. That's it's like the Insane Clown Posse territory. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
of
I can
California.
See that.
Yeah,
it's the I like going up there. I like going up there.
Yeah,
I
mean, Sac's nice.
Do you go often?
Not as much as I used to.
Holidays?
Yeah, yeah. My family would rather. But here's the thing: is my family don't care about holidays that much.
Mm.
So we'd rather be like, oh, hey, it's a random time. It's a random time in October. Let's get together then.
Do you go up or they come down?
Both.
They, yeah, oh, you guys switch it up?
Yeah, it's easy. Well, it's now easy. 6 hours away.
You got the kid now.
Yeah, they come here more.
So you're like, you want to see the kid, you guys got to come here.
Yeah, they come here more. But no, we go up. We'll go up north, see what's happening.
Where's your wife's family from?
Texas.
From Texas.
Yeah, Hook'em.
Hook'em, Texas. You go there?
Yeah, all Austin. It's an Austin family.
Mm-hmm.
All Longhorns. The family bleeds orange. We go there. Go to her parents have season tickets to the Texas Longhorn football.
Uh-huh.
Upper deck, like second row, 50-yard line.
Well, that's cool because you said your dad was from Texas too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice, bro. Do you do comedy up north at all when you go see your
mom? Not much. Not much. And I probably do more in Austin when I'm there than I do in Sacramento.
Really?
Sacramento's scene is like there's
it's
some
light.
Small local shows, but it's a small scene.
Uh-huh.
And then they have two primary clubs,
yeah.
And then some like outskirt stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just not really it's a very, very small scene, whereas Austin, there's a lot more
sure.
going on there in terms of the local.
Who's the two
scene.
Primary clubs? Punchline
and
Laughs?
And Laughs and yeah, Laughs Unlimited.
Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing some breweries this year. I'm on this like, little breweries tour, bro. So
that's rad.
I'm up in Rockland at this little brewery, which was great because I don't think they get comedy up there too often. So I think people are really excited
yeah,
about it.
I heard
it.
You already sold out one show.
We sold out the first show.
Who's the other? You say we. Who else is on the show?
Well, I'm headlining, and then there's some locals up there opening.
Okay.
Yeah, man. I wish I knew but that you were from there. Not that you would be there at that time.
I don't know. When is it
Valentine's Day? Yeah.
No, I'm gonna be here, not dating my wife. It'll be fun.
Well, you know, I would have asked you if you knew any comics that you recommended because I was looking for comics, like local comics.
I didn't start in Sacramento. I started here in L.A.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
So
I did reach out to Steve Fury.
Yeah.
And he gave me a couple of great recommendations. So
funny guy.
Yeah, I love Steve. He's from Sac.
I've heard of it.
Right.
Yeah, I grew up there. That's right.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here, dude. I saw you at the Comedy Store a couple weeks ago, and you popped in for a potluck.
Yep.
And then I when I saw you, I was like, man, where's he been?
I gone. 100% gone. That was the first time. This is actually weird. That was the first time I'd done stand-up in months.
Wow.
Like many, many. I don't know the exact number, but in a longer amount of time than's appropriate.
Why is that? Is it because of the job? Is it
well,
because
it's just,
of the...
So for your listeners, what I currently do
yeah.
primarily... I'm an esports play-by-play commentator.
Dude, you sent me that link, and I'm just like, bro, he's like the fucking Jerry Lawler of esports.
That's accurate. That's fairly accurate. My primary game is called Clash Royale. It's a mobile game. It's one of the biggest mobile games in history. And, yeah, I'm the lead play-by-play commentator for their professional league.
Yeah.
So we have two seasons during the year, one in the fall, one in the spring, and then we have... You know, a big summer invitational, and then we have our in the winter we have our world finals.
Yeah,
is what I showed you, and yeah, that's taken up. I started doing that about a year and a half ago, and at the same time, my son was born the third day of rehearsals
wow.
for that first season. So this last
this
year,
has a huge audience.
Huge, yeah.
I was like, how many people could watch this? And your clip that you sent me was like. 8 million or something.
I mean, we just signed a deal with TBS for 2020.
Wow. Wow.
So they showed our world finals a cut down version of it at the end of December,
mm-hmm.
and then it'll be appearing periodically on TBS during this next 2020 season.
Do you have a contract with them? Like
no, not with TBS.
No, no. Not you. I mean, you with the
With
the company.
So they hire a production company that then hires me.
Okay,
but I'm the guy they make the production company hire.
Yeah,
I'm Supercell's guy, and then they go, hey, production company. You do these things, but here are the things we want you to do, and one of them is hire me and my co-host, Andrew.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's like any sort of television-type gig or that sort of thing. My contract comes up every season.
Okay.
Right? So it's like, I don't have like a four-year contract.
How long have you been doing this now?
Three seasons.
Wow.
So I started a year and a half ago.
So obviously they like you.
Yeah.
People like you.
Yeah. I'm very likable.
Yeah, I watched the clip. It's like you're perfect for it. You're very outgoing. You have a great face and voice.
Well, one of those two at least.
No, you do. You have a great face for it. You get dressed up in the suit.
Like how he assumed that I was disarranging my face and not my voice? He immediately said, you do have a great face. And I could have been my voice that I was.
Yeah, I did assume you meant your face. Well, you know you have a great voice for announcing.
It's pretty excellent.
For announcing, I think it's great. So, yeah, man, I think that's perfect for you. And I'm glad, dude, because, you got a wife, you got a baby.
It could not have come at a more important time.
Yeah.
Because, I've been a stand-up since 2008.
Uh-huh.
At the time when I applied for when I submitted for this gig, I was still the door guy at the Comedy Store, making minimum wage, working, and I'm 35 now. So in my 30s, making minimum wage. I had a better job when I was younger.
Were you already married?
Yeah, I've been married since I was 27.
Okay.
And my wife is the one who made me quit my job to focus on stand-up and stuff full-time, entertainment full-time. So bless her. And so here I was in my 30s, working at the Comedy Store minimum wage, doing well, but still like earning whatever it was, like $10.50 an hour plus tips and parking cars and stuff and getting good stage time and developing really well. But then I had this kid on the way and I was sitting there going like, what the shit am I going to do? Because it's also like, how do you be a dad? Not just like, how do you provide monetarily, but how do you be a dad when 3 to 4 nights a week you have to be away from 7 p.m. until 2 in the morning?
Yeah.
Like, how do you be a dad? How do you be a husband? Same time, all that kind of shit. So a friend of ours from the store, Tom Whalen. He looks like Jack Black, which describes like 50 different people. You ever notice anybody who looks like Jack Black also acts and dresses like Jack Black?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that.
It's not just one characteristic you're going to take.
You're either full Jack Black or you're not. Tom Whalen had seen this this casting call that Supercell, the company that makes Clash of Clans, Clash Royale, Brawl Stars, all those games, they'd put out looking for a play-by-play commentator. Mm-hmm. And the description was...
Where did they put it out?
They posted it. I think there was an in-game like alert, and then they posted it on some other places as well.
Wow.
But the description they were looking for was someone who had play-by-play experience, which I had done 7 years of play-by-play for mixed martial arts.
Wow.
And someone who had comedy experience, which I was already like about a 10-year comic. And someone who played the game, which I did.
Mm.
So I recorded my first, there were multiple rounds of taped auditions. And I recorded my first set of audition tapes at the Comedy Store before, during, and after my shift.
Yeah.
Like tape one before, tape two during, tape three after, and got it in. And made it through the first round, had another round of tapes. And then it was a live audition. And there were 4 of us in the final live audition.
Wow.
Out of 7,000 submissions, by the way. It was a big casting call.
Yeah.
They went through like thousands of tapes and applications. And I went in for the first read with myself and my friend Andrew. And he was, they had him as play-by-play and me as color. Me as the color expert commentator, him as the play-by-play host.
Huh.
And to give these context to these terms, a play-by-play commentator is the verbal conductor of the broadcast.
Yeah.
Does the catches, does the throws, drops in the ad reads, says the who and the what.
Okay.
The color commentator gives the expert analysis, says the why and the how, right? So typically the play-by-play guy is a professional broadcaster. The color guy is a former pro.
Okay.
Like Tony Romo
does
color for NFL. So they have me come in as color for some reason for this final audition. And immediately I know that it's bad. Everyone else in the room thinks it's good. The people from the company, the people from the casting directors, my co-hosts, they're all like, this is good. I love this. I walk out and I'm like, holy shit, that's the worst thing I've ever been a part of. That was the worst broadcasting. It was a 30-second, 2-minute, whatever it was, audition. And it was bad. So I'm out in the hallway, and I hear a friend of mine who had asked about some stuff that he'd been able to achieve. And I hear his voice in my head say what he told me, which was, closed mouths don't get fed.
Mm.
So I waited in the hallway outside of the audition room playing darts for the casting director to come back out. And when he did, I said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? He goes, yeah. And I say, look, I'm a professional play-by-play commentator. I've done it for 7 years for mixed martial arts. It's my first few audition tapes were for play-by-play. That's what I do. I'm great at it. What you guys saw in there was color. It's not what I'm good at. Please let me come back in for play-by-play. I promise you will be excited about it.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, we'll make it happen. And I went back in, and they had me switch with another person and do play-by-play. And I'm telling you right now, Agostino, that it was Monday Night Football level play-by-play for... for that 30 seconds.
What are you doing? Are you reading something?
No. So they put up some gameplay from the previous World Finals, and we like pretended to be commentating for it.
Okay.
And what I did in that was, it was the best I've ever done at anything. And I walked out of that room and I called my wife and I said, if I don't get this job, it's because they don't want what I do.
Yeah.
It's not because they think that anyone else can do what I do better, because it's physically impossible. Hmm. I just nailed this.
Wow.
And then a few weeks later, they called me and said I had the job.
Amazing, dude.
And now it's like, the money is great. I've traveled the world. I've been to Tokyo, been to China.
Damn.
Like, it's...
No wonder I haven't seen you around.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
And now I can provide for my kid and be around and be a dad and be a husband and all that stuff.
Are you happy?
Yeah. I want to be doing more stand-up. Stand-up's my favorite thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But this last year in particular, the... Like in stand up, you know how hard it is to push forward and to get bookings. Like there's so many, you send emails to some guy who runs a bar show in Barstow and you can't get a response to your email or to your Facebook message, whatever the fuck it is. By the way, people are listening, 95% of comedy booking is not like comedy club booking. And even some of that takes place on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's the only reason my comedians are on Facebook, by the way, is because it's a professional thing.
Absolutely.
Otherwise we'd all leave that shit, except for the crazies.
I wouldn't be on any of them.
Yeah. It's the worst.
If I wasn't a comic, I wouldn't be on any of the social medias.
Facebook, I basically don't even check anymore. It's fucking amazing.
Me too.
It's so great.
Me too.
But like, remember how hard it is to just get someone to even acknowledge your existence, right?
Mm-hmm.
With this position, with this job that I have, CEOs of companies will take my phone calls.
Yeah.
Like I have high level meetings now within this industry. The opportunity that's in front of me is potentially, it already has been, life-changing, and potentially life-changing for my family for the long term. So a decision I made this year was to step back from comedy a bit for the time being, do enough to maintain funny,
yeah,
but don't work, don't focus on trying to move forward, and take advantage of the opportunity in front of me right now and create and kind of secure also an on-camera job still,
yeah,
but secure a future for myself and for my family, and then build my audience with them.
It makes
and
sense.
Stay funny. And then now that things are more secure, begin to get back into doing more stand-up and bring this new audience to my stand-up.
Of course.
So.
Yeah, exactly. I would, yeah. Like you said, just maintain the funny, keep writing, you know what I mean? And then, I mean, this opportunity that you have right now is probably also good to introduce stand-up to, you know, get your foot in the door in a little bit more ways. Now that you have eyes on you,
sure,
you can build like this whole... I'm sure you have a fan base.
It's very different. Like there's I have a following within this game now.
Of course.
And that's a young following that knows me now.
Yeah.
But a lot of the following is like teenagers mm-hmm. in early 20s, which is great for as my stand-up continues to move forward.
Yeah. Are you on Instagram or TikTok?
I'm on Instagram. I'm primarily on Twitter. So the ranking of what I do right now is Twitter is the most, because that's where the professional players and the hardcore players in my game tend to congregate.
Okay.
Instagram second. Facebook a very different third. And TikTok, I own my name's real estate.
Huh?
Like, I have @RichSlayton on TikTok.
Okay, and that's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's about it.
On every social media, I get my name so no one else can get it.
And then, yeah, you just let it...
I'll sit.
Because, you know, the young audience is all on TikTok, those young kids.
Yeah. It's TikTok isn't huge in my community.
But do you put stand up out on your?
I mean, so there's,
Twitter.
There's some stand up on my YouTube,
uh-huh.
but also like I'm not doing and filming a ton of stand up.
Right.
You know, so it's one of those things where like
is that something you would do though? So like you have like all these fans like follow you on Twitter, right, for the game.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden you throw a little stand up clip on there. They're like, oh, dude, that's the guy from that hosts that our show. Like, yeah. Let's watch him do stand up. And if they like it, don't you think that they would kind of like want to see more? And then if you drop one a week, a short little clip, that eventually they would want to be like, where can we come see you live?
Yeah, that level. But so there's two things to think about. One is I don't have that amount of content right now.
Okay.
Like I'm not doing that amount of stand-up.
I see.
And especially not that amount of stand-up where I'd be recording consistent content and putting it out on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
right? Or putting it out on social media, which is a big thing. People, I mean, Andrew Schultz is blown up by doing that with YouTube. And you can see comics are starting to copy him with that business model now.
Yeah.
D'Elia's starting to put up like crowd work videos on YouTube and stuff like that, which is, I don't know, he doesn't need it, but he's doing it.
Yeah, he used like YouTube and Instagram.
Yeah. I mean,
IGTV, like he just like went up with it.
Andrew Schultz always been brilliant about it.
He's brilliant about it. There's always been a comic who uses the newest thing that he got, and it seems like they're on the rise with it.
Sure.
Like Dane Cook was like MySpace. Remember when MySpace got huge? It was with him with it. You know what I mean? And I feel like when IGTV came out, it was like right when Andrew Schultz was dropping all those videos. and it like blew up when he blew up, you know.
Yeah, he did great with it. Also, I mean, his YouTube has been, I mean, people underestimate the value of YouTube drastically, and they think the YouTube ship has sailed, and they're 1,000% wrong. Like, YouTube is an unbelievable tool, especially
it's
if
not
you know
going
how to use
anywhere.
It correctly. It's no YouTube is an institution, the same way that NBC is an institution.
This whole time, this game that you work for, has it all been on YouTube, and now it's going to go to TBS?
Yeah, it's going to still be on YouTube, and then TBS owns the rights to rebroadcast, repackage, to do some of the merchandising distribution, stuff like that.
But this whole time it's been on YouTube, and that's been the big moneymaker for them.
No, what's interesting, so in esports, there are some esports that the esports product itself is a product that makes money. But a lot of esports is a loss leader, because the product is the video game itself. The product is the game and in-app sales and things like that.
Yeah.
So esports tends to act as an advertisement for the game more than anything else. I would guess that in terms of like its own internal business, the show that I work on loses a decent amount of money. It's getting closer to being financially sustainable on its own.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not at this moment. But the Supercell, the company that that produces the game that is funding this whole situation, they did $1.5 billion in revenue last year. In 2019, wow. $2 billion in 2018.
Wow.
And the esports thing is part of their advertising, essentially. It's their marketing budget. So it's very different.
Were you the first one to have your job for them, or did you replace someone?
So my league, I'm the first person for my league.
I see.
They had previous competitions, like a big international tournament and stuff like that. And for that, they had different broadcast talent.
Mm-hmm.
But for this league, it's been me and my co-host the whole way through.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What about these people who play the game? Are they making money?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because...
Do they bet?
No, you can't. I mean, I'm sure that there are rules...
Is there gambling involved in
this?
No,
there are rules in their contracts that are anti-gambling.
No, they can't gamble.
Yeah.
But do people...
I guess you could. I don't know if like DraftKings has I know DraftKings has stuff for League of Legends.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have it. I don't think they have it for this.
Huh.
You could. I mean, people would make. I mean,
side bets.
People make side bets. Sometimes myself and the other, because there's three broadcast teams that film. We film out of Manhattan Beach Studios.
Yeah.
You know, down here in LA, and there's an English broadcast team, a Spanish broadcast team, and a Portuguese broadcast team, and we'll make little side bets sometimes for fun with each other.
I see.
But
so this. These players are making money because of the competition. They win money, or also they're
so
just like
these
the key players
are on salary.
Wow.
So an esports organization like 100 Thieves or Cloud9, they aren't in our league anymore. They used to be in the league. Now we have like Team Liquid, which is a big international organization. SK Gaming out of Germany, Team Queso out of Spain, Pain Gaming out of Brazil. A lot of different esports organizations. Those organizations franchise into the league or buy into the league. And then they field the team. And there's a league minimum. I don't know what the league minimum salary is, but most of these players are making a few thousand dollars a month plus room and board.
Damn.
So
that's not bad.
They're a very, very talented, probably the most sought-after free agent of this offseason, a guy named Buffmac, because they all go by their you know, their in-game handles. Very talented player out of Britain.
He's like the Tom Brady right now, bro. He's a free agent.
He's a massive free agent. He's one of the best single... best head-to-head players in the game, and especially in competitive play, as opposed to casual play. And he, there's rumors that Tribe Gaming out of Texas may have signed him to a five-figure-a-month contract, so $10,000 a month or more for, and that's just his initial contract. That doesn't take into account potential winnings. And then a lot of these players, some of them make their primary money off of their salary. A lot of these players also have their own YouTube pages where they make way more money than they make from the actual
league. Is it people watching them play or giving them tips on how to play? Or?
A variety. Some of them are streamers who have people watch them play. Some of them just like go, hey guys, here's this deck I'm doing today.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play it and tell you about, think about it. Some
what
of them
about
do tips
like,
and things.
You know, Gatorade will sponsor someone sometimes. Is there anything like that going on?
SK Gaming out of Germany. Mercedes is one of their major sponsors. So is T-Mobile.
So they can sponsor an actual player and they make money that way too.
Well, they sponsor the team and that trickles down. And then individual players can sign deals and stuff like that. Usually what happens is you build a YouTube page. Let's say you have 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
You get your money from those ads that roll in during or before or after the video. But a lot of your money might come from a sponsored video, right? Like like some company pays you to either put something in the video or do a video about something, things like
that.
Yeah. You know, sort of normal influencer type stuff.
Are you still having fun?
Yeah.
Watching the games.
Oh, yeah. No, the game is fascinating.
And doing the play-by-play. You have a good time.
I love it.
You still play the game yourself?
Yeah, I play it more and more. I'm playing it more now than I ever was. Because the game, it's like, it's speed chess on steroids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a combination of chess, poker, and real-time tactics.
You gotta be really intelligent and sharp and fast to play
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, a lot of these kids, I mean, most of them, interesting, most of them are very, very smart, you know, some of them are like chess champions.
A lot of them, Asian.
Actually, the West has been dominating the East really badly in the last year.
Huh.
In 2019, the West, Europe, America, North America, and South America demolished the East in both of the times where the...
Because they're all dying of coronavirus, bro.
Yeah, right,
I'm
mostly.
Just fucking with you.
Yeah, you just wait until they get tired and pass out, right? No, the current number one player in the world, at least, or the team that won this last year's championship is Team Liquid. They're sponsored by Marvel, by the way, for playoffs.
Get the fuck
they
out of
here,
They
wear, like,
bro.
Marvel jerseys. Like, they wear special jerseys that look like Captain America or Iron Man or shit like that.
I mean, I'm not trying to laugh at them. It's just fucking crazy.
Oh, it's nuts.
This whole world goes on, and you don't even know about it. And then when you look into it for a second, you're like, there's a huge world going on over here.
Yeah, video games is the biggest industry,
I know
biggest entertainment
is.
Industry by
I
far.
Know. I've never been a big, were you a big video game guy?
Massive.
So this is great for you.
Yeah,
this is, aside from stand-up, this is a dream job.
Yeah.
You get to make money and you're having fun.
If I could make this kind of money at stand-up and didn't have to be on the road 30, 40 weekends mm-hmm. a year, I would do stand-up over this.
Huh.
But the fact is that right now, at least, the money in this is great.
Yeah.
And the money in stand-up is trash. And I just don't want, like, I don't want to be on the road 30, 40 weekends a year.
Walk me through your week now. What are you, 5 days a week? What are you?
Well,
I'm
in the off season right now.
Okay.
So right now, my week is I produce usually two YouTube videos a week for my channel. One is a weekly news update show, like, about the esports scene for my game.
Okay.
Like, hey, here's this free agent signing. Here's this rumor that I've heard. This team is dropping and this team's dropping out. And here's, like, some reports from other smaller leagues and stuff like that. And then I do one video a week. It's called Inside the Play, where I go look at a professional game and I break down with X's and O's and arrows exactly, like, what happened this way and why this decision affected this. Because the game, a lot of domino effects where, like, you do one thing early on in the game, and it can trickle down to affect the entire rest of the match.
You do that on your own.
Yeah, I do that on my own. So I do,
and it does well because people know you from the show.
Yeah, I just started the channel pretty recently, but I went from, in the last month, I went from like 200 subscribers to 1,000.
Great.
And then next, you know, just the Supercell has a program for developing YouTube talent.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be in that program, and it's going to be a whole...
Oh, that's fantastic, bro.
And then like the rest of the week, I'm either streaming live competition, mm-hmm. like just from my house, taking care of my son, obviously.
Right. Well, yeah, you got a wife and kid at home. So what about a week when you're in season?
When I'm in season, I'm away three days of the week.
3 days.
When I'm in season, I'm down in Manhattan Beach like Tuesday through Thursday. I go down Monday night.
They put you up at a hotel.
They put me up at a hotel because we're on set like early in the morning until the late afternoon.
But it's Manhattan Beach to... And that's pretty much where it is?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, my hotel is 5 minutes from the studio.
But that's always where it is?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
3 days a week you go there?
3 days a week down there. And
Monday through...
So I go down Monday night.
Yeah.
Because I have to be up there. I have to be there early in the morning. It's 2 hours to get from here to there on a
Yeah,
home,
so
on
go
a
Monday night for sure.
So, yeah,
so
go
Tuesday morning, you're up early over there.
Tuesday morning, I'm up at 6:30, 7 o'clock.
You work on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm up. I work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I'm home.
Thanks for getting to that a lot quicker than I was going.
Yeah, there you go.
And then you're home Friday.
Home Friday through...
Through Sunday. Monday.
Through Monday morning.
Monday daytime. That's kind of great. And then what's your wife do?
My wife is... she's a camp director.
Okay.
Like a summer camp director.
Okay.
So, yeah, during the year, it's...
So she's seasonal, too.
No, because during the year, it's recruiting staff, recruiting campers, dealing with facilities and...
Where's her camp?
Here in L.A.
Okay.
Yeah, so the summertime is like the big time. But during the off season, she like, you know,
she runs shit. She's not like one of those people that are like, hey, I go every summer and watch kids.
No.
She's
in charge. She's the one who's like, well, look, you know, hiring staff.
So who watches your son for the 3 days when you're gone?
Well, we hire somebody.
You hire somebody.
Yeah. Cause he's also too young for preschool. And at his age, it like when he was under a year old,
mm-hmm.
preschool or infant care costs as much as us as us hiring someone personally.
Yeah.
And that personal attention's way better.
So for his age, yeah, just get someone at the house. Yeah. You know, when you're away for 3 days and then your wife's at work, it's better that you know he's just home safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now that he's about to turn two,
yeah,
next year he'll be in preschool during the daytime. And that includes when I'm on set.
But he'll be older, so you'll feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? And I really hate to compare this to your life.
Sure. Go ahead. Do what you do.
I got to take my dog this weekend.
Yeah.
To my friend's house.
Yeah. Man,
and
what a burden.
It's killing me, bro.
Dude.
It's killing me inside.
Yeah, that must be rough.
Because my wife's going with me this weekend for the gig, okay?
Yeah.
And it's just, and normally my buddy, who's like my best friend, co-host of this podcast.
Yeah.
When I go out of town and my wife goes too, he'll watch my dog for me. And he's great with my dog. They've known each other for years. So he'll come over to my house and he just sleeps here.
Cool.
But now he moves to Woodland Hills. He used to live right here. But he moved to Woodland Hills, so now it's kind of a pain in the ass for him to come all the way over here. And not that it's that far.
I mean, it's 30 minutes away.
Believe me, it's not that far. But he's got a house now.
Okay.
So now he's got a nice house with a big backyard.
Sure.
And he's like, bro, I'm doing shit around the house. You know, my parents are coming to visit next week. I'm
then
fixing
the dog,
up the house.
Have the dog go hang out with him.
Exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm like dying about it,
it's
bro.
It's a fucking dog.
Dude,
it's a fucking dog. It'll eat, it'll sleep, it'll shit. It'll walk around. It'll bark at stuff. It's a dog.
Dude, it's not, dude. It's like, yeah, it's a dog, but it's like, I'm so worried about it. First of all, he's not good with other dogs. He can't.
Does he have like a Rottweiler?
No, he doesn't have any dogs.
So what the fuck are you talking about?
If he gets out of the house, it's mayhem. Like, if he gets out of the house and they're not paying attention and he, like, attacks another dog, like, it's fucked.
Is he more likely to get out of the house than he is out of your apartment here or whatever that
he
is?
He does.
Yeah.
He does. But I'm just worried that, like, here's what I'm mostly worried about. He's got roommates.
Yeah.
Okay. And I trust them all, too. They're all good friends of mine. And I just know that he's going to go to work on Friday, and the dog's going to be alone with the other two.
Okay.
Which I trust them. I feel like they're the type to be like, man, the dog's annoying me. Put him out back. And
what's wrong with the dog being out back?
My dog's not an outdoor dog.
What kind of dog do you have?
He's a pit bull.
He's a dog. Go
He's
outside.
He's not an
be
outdoor
dog,
bro. Like, I'm fine with him being outside.
It's not summer. It's not 118 out
it's
right
true,
now.
It's true.
It's tepid.
Like, you can let him outside for a little while, but I have a feeling they're the type to just, like, leave him out there all day.
And what would happen to him? What
I don't
what
know.
Do you
like,
think?
What if that what? Side gate?
A hawk is going to come
like
down and attack
not latched all
your
the way.
Pit bull?
No, bro. They got coyotes on Woodland Hills. They got fucking
yeah,
raccoons.
Yeah, I can't fuck with a pit bull.
A coyote.
A raccoon.
A raccoon, bro. He could get rabies.
What kind of homeschooling did you have where your parents,
which is why
your parents
you,
taught you?
Which is why you like, should have embraced pet insurance. But anyway.
Raccoons are the most dangerous. No, you got to vote for Bernie because I mean, I'm going to get
dude.
It's going to be pet care for all. Pet care for all. Look, 5 out of every 10 pets dies.
I'll vote
when
for
you
that
when you
candidate.
Can't actually that you can't afford pet insurance.
Yeah.
And we can't employer based pet insurance. It's a scam. It's a problem.
It's got
so
it.
We gotta go. No, we're gonna get pet
we
care
should,
for all.
We should be able to get our pets on
that
our.
That was my
insurance.
First Bernie impression, by the way.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you very
for
much
for your first time.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Never done it before. I've listened to the things.
You're right about all of this, and that's the only reason why I'm doing it.
I also have a child, so thinking about all this.
Towards
like,
my dog.
Okay, so I have a dog
yeah.
that I had for 3 years before I had a kid. And as soon as my kid arrived, I was like, oh, that's a dog.
Okay.
That dog can do whatever the fuck it wants.
You're not I'll the first person to tell me
I
that.
I will feed it.
Yeah.
I will pet it. I will walk it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will love it as much as a dog needs to be loved.
Okay.
That is, but I could leave my house for 2 days
mm-hmm.
and my dog would be fine. Maybe upset.
Yeah.
Maybe even there. Maybe if I didn't put enough food in the bowl, enough water in the dish,
yeah.
it'd be a little bit hungry. But like, I would come back and my dog would be like, "Hey, what's going on? Where the hell you been?"
I mean, that's like fucking animal abuse, bro.
I'm not going to. I could. I can't. If I look away from my son for 45 seconds,
yeah,
it's a disaster.
Yeah,
it's
no,
a, it's a disaster
gotcha.
Waiting to happen.
But listen, I don't have kids.
Yeah,
this is all I got.
Yeah.
My other buddy.
No, you got a podcast. You have a garage.
I have a friend who like
have,
his
you have
dog.
A bad friend who moved away.
No,
won't take care of your dog properly
yeah,
anymore.
No, I have a different friend who was like his dog was his best friend until he had a baby, and now he's like, I fucking hate that dog. I can't wait. He doesn't give a shit about the dog.
Sure.
You know, so I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Am I clipping a whole bunch? I think I see the light flashing. I wonder if that's been annoying your listeners this whole time.
Huh? I haven't really noticed.
Oh, okay.
It could be mine, too. See?
Oh, who knows? Yeah, I'm very nervous about clipping now.
If I thought for 1 second that I was right and you were wrong, I wouldn't let him stay there.
Sure.
I know that you're right.
Yeah, so you're just crazy.
I'm just worried.
Sure.
Like, I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, and here's the part that's going to hurt the most. Mm-hmm. Because normally he comes over here, I leave, it's no big deal, he comes later, right?
Sure.
I got to go drop him off at a strange house.
Oh, man.
And then leave him. I'm worried that he's going to think I'm, like, abandoning him. And, I like, it's breaking my heart, bro.
Maybe he will. And you come back and he's like, who the fuck is this guy? Get the fuck out of here. I don't know
I'm
you
only
going
to be gone like 3 days.
I thought we were friends.
It's an emotional thing. And I sure. thought I could open up to you.
Sure. No. One thing I like about comedy more than anything else is that if I've ever gone to a friend with an emotional problem,
mm-hmm.
unless it really needs care,
yeah.
My friends have always had the proper response, which is, fuck you, you fucking idiot. And there's nothing better when you're letting a trivial problem consume your life than your friends making fun of you for letting a trivial problem consume your life.
Well, bro, I don't trust comics in their opinion, dude.
But forget their opinion. It's just, you know, the number of times I've gone after, like, had a rough day and then, like, try to tell some comic friends about it and they start just razzing me for it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, it is irrelevant that I had a rough day. Let's tell dick jokes now.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So... Yeah, no, if you were like, well, I found out yesterday that my uncle killed my mom, I'd be like, oh shit, let's have a real conversation about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what it would take, huh?
Yeah, yeah, it'd still be funny for it, like, later.
Yeah,
but
if my uncle killed my dog, you'd be like, bro, you're being a bitch.
I'd be like, yo, what's up with your uncle, bro? Your uncle hates dogs, or was it like a fear thing, or... Did your uncle have a Nam flashback?
Well,
did Italians go to Nam? I don't even know how that worked.
I'm just going through some shit.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on in my life.
Sure.
But no, man, I'm happy for you, dude. I'm glad that you are working and you like it.
It's crazy. Look, sometimes the amount of time that I miss doing stand-up the way I was doing is often.
Mm-hmm.
I don't miss doing the road. I don't miss being out in the middle of fucking nowhere, doing 8-hour drives between spots, like doing shit kicker casinos.
Yeah.
The number of times I was bumped from the showroom and had to play the stage behind the bar on the casino floor.
Uh-huh.
Like I don't miss that.
Yeah.
You know?
But like those 3 days in the hotel, don't you?
No, fuck no.
You don't like it?
No,
well, you're not really
don't.
In the hotel. See, I like hotels when you're on the road for comedy.
Sure.
Because you're in the hotel all day.
But
you're not in the hotel. You're working.
Yeah, casino hotels is the fucking worst.
No, but you're over there early in the morning on set all day.
Oh, for this? Yeah, I don't mind the hotel.
That's what I mean.
Actually, I don't like the hotel for this thing now. Because, you know, when you're on the road,
mm-hmm.
unless you're out with a friend, with like good friends,
yeah.
like a lot of the time you're on the road, you're out by yourself, maybe with some fucking dumbass second career comic or something like that. Some 55-year-old guy who sold his heating air conditioning business, bought a joke book and is now working shit gigs on the road.
Yeah.
You know, and I went out with that guy multiple times, mm-hmm. versions of that guy. But this thing, like the hotel is 5 minutes from the set.
Yeah.
And afterwards, remember, there's three casting teams. So I'll go back to the hotel and we all get together and have a couple of drinks and eat food together.
So what time do you guys wrap for the day?
It depends. Usually somewhere between 4 and 6.
Oh, so it's like, it's not bad. It's not, yeah. it's not like you're there
we're in at 8. Well, season 1 or season 2, we were for the first half of the season getting there 8 in the morning and not wrapping until after 10. And we had some words about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
We had some words about that, and we got that changed.
Well, this sounds like a good gig, bro.
Yeah, it's fun. Dude, I get to talk about video games.
Yeah.
Like, I love talking for a living. Obviously, if you've listened to this podcast, you know I love to run my mouth a whole bunch. So, I enjoy speaking. I've always enjoyed commentary. I did mixed martial arts for 7 years. In fact, the guy who fought for the title this last weekend, Dominic Reyes, against John Jones for the UFC light heavyweight title, I called his first 4 amateur fights. Back
really?
In the day. Yeah, which is pretty cool to see him.
Where
on.
Did you do that?
Here in LA for a company called the University of Mixed Martial Arts, the U of MMA. I worked for a couple companies, but that was my big one. That was the one I was with for a long time.
So when I saw you the other day
yeah,
at the store, you popped up and you went on stage, and I sat and watched you.
Okay.
And I got the assumption that you were working on something.
Yeah. Working on, there were like
two bits
I was working
on. I don't mean to say that as an insult.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I got the assumption, probably I put it in my own head because I haven't seen you in a while. And now I figured like, well, he hasn't been on stage in a while. He wants to work on something new, right? And I saw you do something that I thought this must be a new bit. And I fucking loved it, bro.
Which one?
I fucking loved it. I'll tell you which one in a second.
Okay.
But I'll tell you that it's part of the reason that I fucking hit you up and said, like, I got to get him on the podcast. Is because I couldn't believe the balls that you had to say it.
I know which bit you're talking about now.
And I couldn't believe that the audience didn't react like I had hoped, because it's such a real, normal feeling. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. And the bit got a good laugh, too.
It got a good laugh. I just was just like, oh, my God.
You thought they were going to freak out on me over it.
No, I thought that they were going to have a bigger laugh, and I kind of did hear people groan, you know?
This is the, when I said we had a boy, at least I think we did. Is that the one you're talking about?
No.
Oh, shit. That's not the one.
No. Talking about, and, you know, I'm going based off of what I can remember.
Okay.
The premise of it is that, you know, when you get married, you're not going to have sex with anyone ever again.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's actually a really old bit.
Is it?
That's an old bit that... I don't do a ton anymore.
Okay.
But it worked with, it set up the bits I wanted to do later.
Yeah.
So I, yeah, like that bit on the road, that's a murderer. Here in LA, there's not as many people who are married. A lot of people who date in LA. So it gets a little bit different reaction.
Right.
The general, I hate to do the bit on the podcast. The general premise of the bit was, I never cheated. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not a cheater. So I've come to realize the only way I'll ever sleep with someone new is if I outlive my wife.
Yeah.
So there's a part of me that wants my wife to die.
Right.
And then there's a bunch of tags based off that were like the big punches and stuff like that.
Right. And then and then you're like, I'm not saying I want her to die. You're just like, I do text her when I know she's driving. I think you said, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which...
yeah, like 3% wants me... most of me wants her alive. 3%... is really into the idea, though, right? Yeah. 97% wants her alive so we can cuddle and watch Netflix. 3% sends her text messages when I know she's driving.
Yeah, I think it's a great joke, dude. I think it's a great joke. And I never heard you do it before. And when I heard you do it and I kind of saw people's reaction, I was just like, well, yeah, I guess, you know, somebody's saying they wish their wife was dead. I guess that's you know what I mean? I get that reaction.
Sure.
But, and also, I related to it so much. But, it doesn't mean that I want my wife dead, and neither do you. Anybody listening to this podcast knows that you know, you could just tell you love your wife,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I do too. I don't love yours. I mean, I love mine. And it's just a normal thought. And I think that everybody has thought to themselves at one point, not that I wish my wife was dead, but you've probably thought to yourselves, what if they died? What would I do?
Oh, yeah. A thousand times.
I don't just mean financially. I mean, like, would I date again? Mm-hmm. Would I marry somebody else? You know what I mean? Would I, you know, after how long would it take before I get out there and start,
would
like, hooking up with people?
Would I want to invite some other human being to share my life?
Yeah.
To share my life?
Like, I think that's a legitimate question to ask yourself, even though God forbid something did happen to your spouse. It's just, I think that's a very normal thought to go, yeah, like, what am I going to do?
I should actually explore that aspect of it more, the sharing my life thing.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And people are like grown and they get upset, like, oh, he wants his wife. Of course he doesn't want his wife dead. But
I'll tell you right now,
that's a deep, deep, deep down, like,
it's a real marriage
feeling that, like, holy shit. And you're bringing it to the surface, and some people can handle it, some people can't.
I'll tell you right now, the second you leave Los Angeles, that bit is an A tier bit.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles, where there's so much of the audience isn't married,
mm-hmm.
they don't understand the emotion.
Right. They just think you're being a dick.
Anywhere where most people are married, that thing is a rocker.
Yeah.
Because anyone who's been married for more than a year understands that feeling of, oh my God, I love this person. I would never cheat on that person. So am I never going to fuck anybody else again?
Right.
I want to fuck other people.
Yeah.
I want to do that, but I'm not going to do that to them. So the only logical conclusion is, if perchance, like a piano falls out of the window of a building they're passing by and they're in the wrong spot, then perchance I might fuck another human being. Other than that.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah, it's a very real, I remember having that emotion, and the first time I told that bit, feeling like it was very transgressive.
Mm.
And the first time I told that bit, and the audience just popped, because the audience understood that feeling.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, this is a common feeling.
Yeah.
This is not just me, everyone feels like this.
And of course, it's exaggerated for the stage to make it funny.
Yeah, yeah, you couch it.
Yeah, you don't really feel like that.
The truth is only so funny.
Right.
The precise truth is only so funny.
Yeah, and the precise truth is like, if she died, you know, that would be...
Oh, that's tough.
That's tough.
Yeah, I'd have to, you know, take a minute.
Yeah.
You know, walk it off maybe.
But I always think, like, as much as I like fantasize right now while she's alive about other women.
Sure.
That I always think, man, I bet you if she died, I would be such a piece of shit and like not even wait that long before. I always think that about myself. But if it actually happened, that probably wouldn't be the case. I probably would be like crushed, and it would be like years before I would date again, I would think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the over under is on how long it would take me to go out and like try to hook up with somebody, or if it fell into my direction is more likely than if I went and got and tried.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine, like, my wife is a good teammate. She's a good partner.
Yeah.
Right? She's a friend. But again, like, the most important thing is, do you have a good teammate?
Yeah.
Like, do you guys work well together? The idea of inviting someone else in to share my day-to-day, of there being someone besides my wife who I chose to be the person who, like, I check things with, like, calling to say, hey, I'm gonna be home late, or like texting about what the schedule is for the day, stuff like that. To give someone else that kind of access to my life sounds fucking mind-boggling.
I know, dude.
Well,
you're comfortable with it too.
I'm exceptionally comfortable.
Yeah.
Exceptionally comfortable. And also like trusting. And just the idea of starting over with someone else, like figuring out like where do we put does the milk go in this drawer of the of the fridge, or in this drawer of the fridge?
Right.
Like,
well,
no,
you know,
no.
You don't have to do any of that with another person that you just fuck.
Well, exactly. I'm a monogamist at heart.
Yeah.
So I think of it in that term.
Yeah.
The idea of just fucking somebody else, I don't know, man. I mean, like, there's the idea conceptually, it sounds fun. But it's so hard for me to like put myself in that position realistically, because it would have to go through so far. And also, put this in context now, I have a kid now too.
Yeah.
So my first thought now, I wrote that bit before we had our son. Mm.
So now it's I'm gonna be a single parent.
Yes, that's the first thought I have now.
And that doesn't sound great.
No, it sounds pretty terrible. Yeah. No, like I have no fucking clue how I would make that work. That would be absolutely insane.
You better be fucking.
I don't know. That'd be absolutely crazy.
I always think about, like, you know, like, man, you know, and then by the way, if that's what you think, and then if something happened, you wouldn't be getting all this pussy. Like, where's it coming from? You know what I mean?
Yeah, everyone's looking for the almost 40 widower. That's what they're into now.
Well, dude, when you're married, I feel like it is kind of thrown at you a little bit more.
Sure. Well, because you're not thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're not
chase it. It comes your way, and they smell it too, bro. They smell it like that you're not after them, and they hate being ignored, and they fucking smell that you're married, and some chicks, they're into that. You know what I mean? And I can feel it, like when I go on the road and stuff, and I do comedy, and I meet girls, like, you know, I'll usually hang at the bar after the shows or something,
sure.
And there's always people coming up, and you know, I can feel that girls flirt with you, and for, you know, you entertain the thought. I don't do anything, I don't act on it, but you entertain the thought, like oh, see, I could still get chicks, you know, or that girl was kind of cute, you know what I mean?
It feeds the ego. It definitely feeds the ego for sure,
and it also gives you a little fantasy, and it gets you through
for back at the hotel room. Yeah,
you know, it gets you through another month of having sex with one person, three weeks out of the month, and. And then, you know, and I just, but then I always go back to my room and I just think for a second. I just be like, that would be horrible. Like, it would just be terrible. Like, it wouldn't even be worth it. You know what I mean? Like, besides how comfortable you are and, like you said, sharing your life with someone. And it's just like, I just feel comfortable. I just feel happy. It'd be different if I had like a bitch at home. You know what I mean?
Sure.
If your wife was like a bitch and you just fucking didn't get along.
If you wanted out anyway and you didn't, you just hadn't had the balls or the good enough lawyer to pull it off yet.
Right.
Then I understand that feeling. But like, if you have
a good relationship, it's not worth it.
Yeah, yeah,
so she's gonna have to die.
but she has to die, and that's where the whole feeling of the bit came from.
It's a deep feeling.
It's a very real feeling. Yeah, like that. I actually there were three bits that were new in that set I was working on. One was a bit. I have this chunk in there about how we're going to circumcise our, like, about whether
oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And that used to lead in a direction that made, like, some dick jokes.
Uh-huh.
But the punch of the joke, of that joke, is that, you know, we're going to circumcise my kid. Of course I'm going to circumcise my kid. That's my baby girl.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was
And then
nice,
I reveal that we have a boy. And I used to go on, like, I did some dick jokes. And I go, no, we had a boy. But so the new version, instead of going to dick jokes, I'm like, oh, no, we had a boy. At least I think we did. I don't know. You don't know anymore. If you don't get to decide, you might like you. And you
that's
to,
right. That's right. And, I remember you saying that too.
And that went to some. That goes into something about like.
I think you said we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
I like
And that's also a real feeling I'm having now as a parent in 2020. right? Because like transgender or gender identity stuff is so central to conversations.
Right.
And gender identity, sexuality, whatever it is. And as a parent, you sit there and you go, I really hope that I have a cisgendered straight child.
Mm-hmm.
You hope. I will love whatever my child ends up being.
Sure.
But it's also a real feeling of, man, just for pure ease, just for lack of difficulty, I hope that my kid has as few things that make life more difficult as possible.
Yeah.
And being a cisgendered straight kid makes life easier.
Sure.
If my kid is a transgendered, like, polyamorous, whatever the hell it is,
yeah,
I will also love my child the same way.
It's just going to be a difficult life.
It's just going to be more harder for my child.
I agree.
So that's all these feelings as parents, thoughts as parents that you like you didn't engage with before. Before,
if you
before
think about it,
is philosophical.
It's really more what you're used to. You get comfortable with things, just like you're comfortable with your wife. You get comfortable with things. Your kid is born a boy. You get comfortable with him being a boy. All of a sudden, he ends up being a girl later on. It's, you know what I mean? Like, before the kid was born, you didn't know what it was.
Sure.
So at one point one day, it was a big surprise. Oh my God, it's a boy. You know what I mean? So that is the same thing. It's happening later on down the road when he's 18.
Oh my God, it's a girl, I guess now.
It's just funny. You were more comfortable.
That's funny.
You got used to him being a boy for a while.
But it's a real
I don't believe
thing.
In anything I just said. I'm just trying to be funny.
No. It's a real conversation is that a lot of people go like, well, I've heard people like say that they want their kid to be one of the like gay or transgender or whatever. And I'm like,
You have that attitude, you're just going to be putting that.
I'm happy with my kid. I want my kid to be healthy.
Yeah.
And have as happy of a life as possible. And just for, again, like I would prefer that things are simple. I prefer that my kid doesn't have ADD like I did, you know, but ADD has given me a lot of the cool things that I've been able to achieve have come from ADD as a superpower as well.
Sure.
Not that I'm equating blah, 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 blah. but people get very touchy about that as a topic. And I'm like, this is just what I prefer. And I will love my kid just as much, whatever the hell happens.
Yeah.
But these are real things you think about as a parent. So that was a new thing that I'm working on.
Yeah.
This whole serious conversation. That is
something that parents have to deal with. Because you should make fun of guys like me who try to compare their dog.
Yeah. Are you worried if your dog tomorrow is going to be like, well, I want to fuck pigeons. And you're like, what? Pigeons? You want to fuck a pigeon? Can you even catch a pigeon?
Dude,
you've never even caught
so
a pigeon before.
Funny. You should do that too. You should be like you know. Now that I have a kid, you should make fun of people who have dogs who try to compare it to being parents.
And
just be like, yeah, well, there's no risk of your dog coming out one day and being like, you know what, I'm not a dog, I'm a fucking cat.
Maybe, and you know what, and more power to you, man. Cats. You get your dog a litter box now, and you know you deal with the whole bathroom situation.
I mean, we did cut his balls off.
Yeah, I mean that's normal. That's what we did with my dog too.
But it's a girl dog. I'm just kidding. See what I did there? Your joke.
I like it. Strong move. What was the new thing I was working on? I had one joke about esports that I'm working on in there. And then I was very upset about the set that you saw because most of that set went really smooth. And I tried to get one last joke in there and I switched the punchline of the setup.
Uh-huh.
And so I had this set that was like good and smooth and hitting on here and here and here.
Yeah.
And then the closing joke, which is a really fucking good joke, I switched the punchline and setup and it crashed.
I hate when that happens.
And I the second I did it, I knew I was like, oh, this joke's unsalvageable.
Was that the last time you were on stage?
Yeah.
When's the next time? You don't know?
I mean I can go back to the store and get up pretty regularly.
Well, it's off season now. You can head over there on Mondays.
Yeah. Yeah, I can head over there. I should get up a couple times in February at least.
Good.
It's one of those things also where it's like, again, it's a challenge to make the conversation. It's like stand up feeds me emotionally. Mm-hmm. But the gaming stuff literally feeds me. So every night where it's like, I'm going to go and do stand up stuff for like three or 4 hours. That's 3 or 4 hours. And I'm not spending with my family or not spending building this other thing that is going growing rapidly and really bringing me a lot. So
what do you and the wife got planned this Valentine's Day?
Well, my parents will be in town.
Okay.
So,
too bad. I was going to invite them to the Rockland show.
Oh yeah. Right. No, my parents might stay home with the baby boy and we might go out and,
well, that's nice.
And do a dinner. Who knows? Or we might say fuck it and just stay in and cook and
hang out together.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
I should take my wife out, I think.
Yeah.
You know, remind her about that I don't want her dead, you know?
I don't like going out on Valentine's Day because I feel like it's like this like you have to do something pressure, and then everything's twice as expensive and or hard to get a reservation or a table.
Yeah, so I
always like to go like the day after or the day before and be like, you know, make up for it, you know.
You're a smart guy.
Maybe you hang out with the family on Friday, Saturday, be like, honey, we're going out.
Well, the family's in town. My parents are actually in town. They like they're double dipping. They're going to a wedding in like Santa Monica, Malibu, whatever, on Saturday, and then they're like, hey, we'll come a couple days early and see the grandkid and take a picture.
Well, then you, if you got a babysitter, take advantage of it. Go out fucking Valentine's Day, bro. Even if you go to a movie, fuck it.
I still haven't seen that new Star Wars.
I haven't seen any Star Wars ever in my life.
You haven't seen a single one?
I've seen the original one, and which I think is called...
I mean, it's a Star Wars.
Okay, yeah, the original Star Wars. And I've seen the not the last one, but the one before that.
Yeah. So you have seen two Star Wars
movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so lying to you before.
Yeah, you were... I just
don't know what they are. Like, I don't know which one's which. And sure. I don't know what's going on between those two stories.
It's not important.
I've watched the original one. I just wasn't a fan. And then...
When did you watch it?
I've tried it like three different times in my life.
But at what age did you first watch it?
Really, really, really young.
Okay.
And then I've tried again, I'd say maybe 4 years ago.
Okay. So when you were really young, you didn't like it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And then I lost I didn't lose a bet. I had an arrangement with a friend of mine, so I had to watch the more recent one.
Okay.
It was a part of our deal.
What kind of deal?
He knows I really don't like Star Wars. Like, okay. I don't want to go watch a movie. And I wanted him to quit smoking cigarettes, so he stopped smoking cigarettes. I watched a Star Wars movie.
That seems like a really uneven trade.
Why?
You gave up, like, 2.5 hours of your time. And he gave up a lifetime of the joy of smoking cigarettes.
I mean, I kind of helped him, though, too. I mean, he hasn't had a cigarette since.
I don't know, man.
It's been like 2 years, like a year and a half.
I would go back in time and keep you. I would keep it out of that movie and go like, hey, keep enjoying. You denied him hours upon hours of pleasure. Yeah, that's not an even trade.
I mean, you don't have no idea how much I hate watching Star Wars movies. How do we start talking about this?
Movies? I don't know.
Oh, I said go to a movie.
Oh, yeah, go see a movie with the family. It took me, I didn't see Endgame for like a year after it came out or something.
Mm. You know what? I
saw Joker. That was a pile of trash.
You didn't like the movie?
No, it was nonsense.
Really?
It was nonsense. Especially, okay, like, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Joker, then too bad, right?
Okay.
So the whole thing they do in the beginning where, like, they're like this, as soon as they showed the biracial chick from next door being nice to him,
yeah,
I was like, oh, he's imagining this.
Okay.
The second. And then, like, later in the movie, he, like, when it's, like, the big twist, oh, he was imagining all of it. I was like, dude, this is like if the first time you saw Bruce Willis in Sixth Sense, when the kids saw him, he was, like, gray and carrying chains and going, ooh.
I mean, I don't feel like that was the big twist. I feel like that was just, like, a part of it. He only imagined the girl.
Yeah, yeah, but his entire relationship with her had been imagined.
Yeah,
and it was supposed to be a twist. Like, oh my god, it wasn't actually happening. It was the most obvious shit ever. Huh. Like the second.
So you're mad that you just called it?
No, I'm mad that they were so blatantly obvious.
Hmm.
This whole plot line was like,
yeah.
It wasn't just I called it. It was like, it was as if at the beginning of Star Wars reference won't even make sense to you. At the beginning of The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
You'll know this line when I say it. If at the beginning of Empire Strikes Back, someone was like, hey, Luke, by the way, Vader's your dad. Like at the beginning of it, rather than at the end of the movie, Luke, I am your father or whatever.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a reference that doesn't make sense to you.
No, I get it. Okay, I get it. Yeah.
Right? So same thing here. It was just lame.
It was just also, obvious to you. I don't think it was that obvious to everybody. Maybe you're just smart.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like because his mom was also like was a schizophrenic who imagined things.
Yeah,
I don't know. They're like,
I don't think that it was a bad movie. I don't think it was like the best movie.
It was fine.
I don't think it was great. I thought the performance was phenomenal.
But There Will Be Blood was also like a great performance that I hated the movie.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it was like beautiful.
See, I didn't hate this movie. I thought it was a good movie. I wasn't in love with it. I thought it was a really good movie, and it just wasn't the best. Wasn't the greatest.
Sure.
And I don't know. I liked it.
Sure.
I liked it. I thought the acting was great. I thought I thought they did a really good job of like talking about, rather than like a DC comic villain, more about like this is people's mental health that they go through, you know, and kind of shed some light on that.
Sure.
I thought they did a good job with it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm glad that he won Best Actor because I think he kind of deserved it.
But he might have.
But
I don't even know who won or not was nominated.
Oh, he did win. He did win.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But
he beat Leonardo DiCaprio.
Son of a bitch.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I didn't see that either.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's a fucking phenomenal movie.
Yeah, I don't see movies anymore because I have a child. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Well, it's on DVD.
Yes, but I have to have 2.5 hours to sit down and be like...
No, you need three.
You need 3 hours for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah.
Fucking Quentin, man.
You just need 3.5 for The Irishman.
Make a horror movie and have it take 97 minutes.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Get your shit together,
dude,
Quentin.
He beat, what's his name, Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes. That guy did a great job, too.
You watch so many things, dude.
I watch a lot of stuff.
You watch a lot of I used to watch so many things.
That's what happens when you have a dog.
Oh, yeah, right.
You just sit there with your dog. He's quiet. You just put on a movie.
No. Now it's like, and that, yeah. The whole thing changes. You're like, oh, these walls in the valley are thin, so I have to have the volume at a certain level, lest I wake the sleeping child.
Right? Yeah. I would say probably the best movie of the year, bro, was like a tie between Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Jojo Rabbit.
Didn't see either of those.
You got to watch Jojo Rabbit,
Hitler baby movie or whatever?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's fucking phenomenal. I thought it looked so stupid in the trailers. I put it on, and to tell you the truth, I almost turned it off after 10 minutes of watching. I was like, this is horrible.
You know what I turned off? What I turned off, like aggressively turned off, was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah?
The Queen. I'm a big Queen fan.
Yeah.
And as soon as, because you know.
I think I saw it in theaters.
Yes, ugh, I feel bad for you paying for that. It was supposed to be Sacha Baron Cohen playing Freddie Mercury, and he dropped out over creative differences over the movie.
Yeah,
and I get it because that movie was a pile of crap. There was no character. It was all just beats. That movie was like straight up a paint by numbers shit movie. And you see Rami Malek, and you're like, you're good at a lot of things. Being this guy, you're not.
Yeah,
Sacha Baron Cohen would have been brilliant. But also, he wanted a good movie that like had plot to it. So, is what it is.
Hey.
I have opinions.
You do. So, you know what, bro? You got a babysitter. You should go out. You should go catch up on the flicks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go watch a lot of them.
Or at least go out to dinner or something.
No. You know what? Have you ever been to a Tel Aviv Grill in Encino?
I've heard of it.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I've been.
It's life-changing.
Yeah?
Yeah. Best shawarma in the entire city.
I don't eat meat.
Really?
Yeah.
There's good. They got good falafel.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's vegetarian.
It is.
You don't eat meat. You're Italian.
Yeah. That's true.
What?
Yeah.
Did they serve you meat as a kid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you just... Did you stop eating meat for, like, an ethical reason or for, like, a health reason?
I stopped eating meat.
You can't afford meat.
No, it's only been almost nine months.
Okay.
Yeah. So it hasn't been my whole life.
Is that why you're kind of yellowish?
No.
Am I yellowish? Slightly jaundiced?
I feel pretty healthy.
Yeah?
I feel pretty good.
Why'd you stop eating meat?
I guess... I don't know. What did you say? Political? I guess you could say that. I just health and political, I guess. I don't agree with the way that they treat animals. I don't trust where it comes from. I don't trust that what they're giving the animal. I don't trust that. I don't trust those like grass fed organic bullshit labels. I just don't trust it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't. I feel like amazingly so much better.
So like if you were out, my parents live half the year in Montana. Ranching country.
Okay.
And what you do in Montana all the time is you go pick your cow. Like you go to a ranch.
Yeah.
Where these cows are like free range ranch cows that get driven on cattle drives and stuff. And you go that one. And they butcher that specific cow up and give you that cow's meat.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't trust that meat.
No.
Why wouldn't, I mean, you wouldn't trust that meat. And you don't eat meat right now. But you actively would distrust that meat?
That wouldn't be a matter of trust. That would be, I don't have the heart to do it.
Okay. You see, what I like to do is I like to look the cow in the eye and give him a stern look.
I grab him
by the jowls and be like, I'm going to eat you.
I can't do it, bro.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I like to do.
It breaks my heart, bro. I can't do it. Mm. I wouldn't want to have the control to choose someone's death, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know. You make a game out of it. You go like, okay, I'm going to throw, blindfold me, give me a paintball gun, spin me around, whichever one I hit, I'm going to eat that one.
You know, yeah, I just can't do it, man. I mean, it wasn't something that happened overnight. It was just like something I toyed with on my mind. And then I would take breaks from meat, and I would just have it every night. It just left off, and then I stopped red meat. But now I still eat fish. So I just eat fish.
Because fuck fish.
Yeah, because fuck fish, yeah, bro. That's fair. I mean, you know what I mean? They're not cute.
What about birds?
I don't eat chicken.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Damn.
They're
as dumb as fish. I think.
I just don't want it.
I don't know.
I especially don't trust how.
Do you eat eggs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Eat the fuck out of some eggs.
Bro, I eat the fuck out of some eggs.
Okay.
I fuck up some eggs.
I support you.
I couldn't give up eggs.
Do a little scramble.
Mm-hmm.
Throw a little sprinkle of cheese just to give it some little gooiness.
Yeah, dude. I still do cheese.
I like that.
And milk.
I like that.
I just don't do red meat or poultry.
Red meat or poultry?
Mm-hmm.
So you do pigs then, the other way?
Nope. No pigs either.
Nope. You do the long pig then? That's people. The long.
No, not that. Well, occasionally.
Nice.
Yeah, man. I feel so much happier. Okay. And healthier. And it's going great. I'm glad that I do it. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not the type to like preach to people. You should do it too. Or I just fucking. Enjoy myself.
You could totally preach me, and I'd be like, awesome.
Yeah.
This is awesome. And then
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I go eat a lot of it.
It's, you know, I do it for me.
I go double meat.
Yeah. Do what you.
I'd be like, normally I get a single In-N-Out. Today I'm getting a double.
Yeah. To make up for the one that guy isn't having.
Just keep the balance of the force.
Because he thinks he's doing something good, but I am going to make sure that cow is dead.
That was a Star Wars reference, keeping the force balanced.
Okay. I'll have to assume.
So am I supposed to homeschool you on something? Is that sort of this? Is it supposed to teach you about a thing?
I mean,
no.
I mean, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I was thinking about the topic, about the title homeschooled, and I was like, oh, am I supposed to like come into your home and school you on a thing? But
no. Oh, okay. No. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is schooled. You know, we're teaching ourselves. We're teaching other people. We're learning. They're learning. We're sharing experiences.
Is your co-host homeschooled as well?
No.
Good for him.
Yeah. No, he's
good for him. He got to see girls every day when he was growing up.
Yeah. So did I, but I mean, they're my sisters. Yeah,
that's a lot less fun.
Yeah. He's a normie.
Congratulations for him.
Yeah. But thank you for coming on, man.
For sure.
I'm glad we got to chat and I'm glad I got to catch up with you. And I'm so glad that I ran into
you
that day.
This is a very pleasant garage.
Thank you very much.
I've been in a lot of garages, by the way, in my life. And this is one of the more pleasant ones. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
I'm ranking them on that scale specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very high.
I don't have any cows for you to pick out, but
I will punch one right now. I'll spinning back kick it.
Man, that's so cool. See, now I know why you would just leave your dog for 2 days.
Yeah, no, and I'll tell him I'm never coming back. And then I come back and he's even more excited. I'm like, I'm never coming back.
That is true.
You know what, actually,
it is fun to break someone's heart just so you can be the hero, isn't it?
The other day, some guy came to my house trying to sell me something. And my dog and my kid's nanny's dog were at my house. And they started going batshit crazy, barking at him. And I went over to them and I said, shh, be quiet or I'm going to send you to China. And they were quiet. And I was like, yeah, you know who's boss.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend that plane ticket, but congratulations.
Yeah.
I feared you into being shut the hell up.
Dude, my friend's roommate is Asian, bro.
Yeah? I've heard of it. Asian?
That's part of the reason I'm afraid to leave the dog there.
Oh, I get what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, what kind of Asian, though?
Filipino.
I don't think the Filipinos have a history of that. Now,
Now,
if your dog deals drugs, he might execute your dog.
Bro, I will stereotype fucking Filipinos with all the Asians. They eat dog.
Okay, congratulations. You're now canceled. It happened. One of your listeners was like, this is over. I'm done with him.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for coming on.
Happy to be here.
What's your YouTube channel called?
On anything, just search Rich Sladen, RichSladon on YouTube, on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok, but I'm not going to post anything there.
And what's the name of the show that you host?
It's called Clash Royale League.
That's right. All right, you guys, and I'll be in Rockland, California. The first show sold out, only the 9:30 left, and that's like halfway sold out. So you guys better hurry up and get some tickets, and you can get those at homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour, get those tickets. And besides that, that's almost sold out. After that, I think the next thing I have is at the Comedy Store, I think, after that. So just check the website, homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour. You'll see all my upcoming dates. And I hope to see you in Rockland, California. And don't forget, I want to see you guys showing up with some t-shirts, all right? So head over to merch, homeschoolpod.com. Click on merch. Get yourself a t-shirt. And that's it, you guys. I'm glad that Rich stopped by. Thank you for being here. We'll send some well wishes to Kevin, my usual co-host, who wasn't feeling well today, so he couldn't
make it. Fuck off, Kevin.
He ate some bad cow.
Ugh.
And I want to thank all of you guys for supporting the Homeschool Podcast and listening to this episode. I hope you guys have a great weekend, a wonderful Valentine's weekend, whether you're with someone special or you're fucking alone, because that can be enjoyable too. Have a good one, you guys. See you next time.
My funny Valentine.
That's for you, bro. That's so sweet. Thank you.
Sweet comic Valentine. You make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable. Yet you're my favorite work of art. Is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little weak? When you open it to speak, are you smart? But don't change your hair for me, not if you care. Stay, little Valentine, stay. Each day is Valentine's Day. Is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little weak? When you open it to speak, are you smart? But don't change your hair for me, not if you care for me. Stay, little Valentine, stay. Valentine's Day.